I think that in the kind of supercharged socio-political climate that we're living in now, I don't know if you all know it, but so there were people suspended from the Lionsgate Bridge today, protesting the pipeline.
Yesterday too.
And eight protesters climbed up to the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York today and would not come down. And the police had to arrest seven of them, and then they finally had to go with the last protester, who was a woman with a sign that said, "I won't leave until all the children are released." They did get her. It was very dangerous for them as well as for her. And she was arrested too. So things are getting really hot.
I was arrested on Saturday.
You were arrested Saturday? Women and young people are leading the way this time, which is wonderful. We need it. It seems that people who realize how deeply connected we all are to life's source are trying to take a stand against very powerful forces. So it's a dangerous time. There's no question about that. We've seen a little of what the danger could look like in this iteration at this time. I'm somebody who lived through the 60s, where we saw a lot of possible responses, which was very dangerous and deadly. I think of all the things that I saw when I was a young man, I was in my mid-20s at the time, was the when the students were shot at Kent State University. And it became clear to me that the government was willing to kill its children to maintain the status quo. That was shocking beyond belief. So when I say it's dangerous, I mean we haven't even begun to get anywhere near that. And it's already dangerous. So it's a time when people, I feel, have to really, in the real world, ask themselves, what is the most important thing? Truly, what is the most important thing? And how do you know? Our practice, in one way or another, has asked that question from the very beginning. The very first time the Buddha sought to know who he was or what he was asking, what is the most important thing? Who are you? What are you? What is the absolute foundation of existence that has brought you into the world? We don't tend to connect these two things, what's going on in socio-political world and, you know, this deep question. But I think we have to, as practitioners of Zen, we have to not lose touch with that question. What is the most important thing? Probably, if we ask that question the first 20 or 30 times, we'll get answers that are fairly predictable. You know, we'll say things like love or kindness or tenderness. You know, we'll say something like this. But that's peeling the onion away. You know, that's peeling the layers away, trying to get down to something that is so raw that we may not be able to find the language for it. But something we'll know inside of us. It's this thing. even if we can't put a word to it. So the question is, how can we know how to answer that question?
Sometimes the question is so loud you cannot help but listen.
Say it again.
Sometimes the question is so loud.
It's so loud, yeah.
That you can't help but, and sometimes the answer is simultaneous. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can't
I mean, sometimes everything just...
It just happens.
Yeah, shouts.
Because it's right.
Because it's...
It's right in that moment to mm-hmm. happen, or it's wrong in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can answer the... I mean, what you're saying is very important. We can answer the question on the personal level. But there's also a non-personal answer to that question that we have to live somehow. This is part of the mystery of what it means to say that form is boundlessness and boundlessness is form. When form starts to be informed by the answer that rises up out of boundlessness, you may not be able to really understand it, but something comes forward. That's why I ask, how do we know? How can we really know that? I think we can know it. I have no question about that. If we stay in touch with life as it truly is, at its source. And I think that as Zen practitioners, we must never lose touch with it. One of our Sangha a year ago contacted me and was at a demonstration and said he didn't know what to do because his fellow demonstrators were starting to get angrier and angrier and more ready towards violence. He just was confused. He sort of felt the same kind of feeling they had, but he knew that it was not going to go anyplace. So I asked him to just practice right in front of everybody. So I sat down in front of a police car and did zazen. And it changed the mood. I'm like, what's he doing? He may not have yet been touching the answer to that question, what is the most important thing, but something was touching him that gave him the courage to not just follow, to not just be part of the crowd, to not just, you know, sort of get lost in his, you know, personal and reasonable anger at what this apartment was about and what it meant for the future. So even if he couldn't reach over and touch it in some conscious way, something reached up and touched him. And it's, I believe, because we have to ask the question, what is the most important thing? We live in a society where that question is answered for us all the time. It's looking young, or, I don't know, driving this car, or eating the right yogurt, I don't know. But it's not a serious asking the question. This question is a kind of koan. You know this word from Zen practice or literature. It's a kind of maze that you enter where you can't think your way through it. But you ask it deeper and more and more and more deeply inside yourself every time, every breath, actually. I was doing that during this zazen tonight. Just to try to put that question through my whole being. So if we put that kind of question through our whole being every time we sit, and don't try to think the answer, something may emerge. Something that informs our whole life. Something that helps us really suddenly, even against what we think of ourselves or anything else, suddenly manifest the Bodhisattva vow. Suddenly, we're doing it. Bernie Glassman, who was my Izumi Roshi's sort of major Dharma heir, the White Plum Sangha. And then at some point a number of years ago, I guess it's called disrobed, he stopped being a priest. He said, I'm a lay person. That's what I am, so I'm just going to do that. And he's the one who organized the retreats at Auschwitz. Bernie said that if you bear witness to what's happening, and you just don't know, you just hold that not knowing mind, which means you don't jump to an answer. You don't believe your own opinion. You just stay in that pure state of bearing witness and hold back the ego's need to satisfy the question. You know, it's like, and then everyone wants to go like that, right? But that's the ego saying, wait, no, I'm not happy, you know? But if you just stop on that last beat, you just stay there. That the fact of not knowing, the fact of simply being present intimately, bearing witness, and not knowing, will allow what he calls loving action to emerge. It will come through you. It will come up because it's no longer blocked. So this is one good way to ask that question. What is the most important thing? There's a way in which our whole practice is asking the question. Everything we do. Standing, walking, sitting, chanting, bowing, being part of the service. Everything is trying to help us understand what is the most important thing. In other words, what is this life? Finally. There's a chance we could find out. And I believe that this question is at the very root of why people come to practice in the first place. This is the source of our aspiration, this question. The short version is, what is it? Zen. This is kind of tricky practice. What is it? But really it means, what is the most important thing? What is it really? So I ask you to be aware of the question. When you find yourself getting pulled, and you will, because these times are so, they're so volatile. When you find yourself getting pulled forward, you just want to solve it, or fix it, or change it, or stop something, or, you know, I mean, who could possibly know about children in cages in the United States and not want it to just stop? Who is that person who just says, well, I don't care, not my problem, I'm not in a cage, not realizing that they're in a cage. But you know what I'm saying? Even that urge, which is not bad, good, bad, but it could easily lead to creating the worst conditions. So knowing that we have a question, I think, can help. I'm not suggesting that we don't act. It's not what I'm saying. We may act and some good may come, and we may act and some not so good may come. But we just should not lose touch with the question. That's all I'm saying. We should remember. We actually live in the name of that question. So that's all I seem to have wanted to say. What time is it?
8:40.
Does anyone have something that they would like to contribute?
Yes, I just they about didn't go planning to be arrested, but I wasn't intending to be arrested. I was in a training session, and they were gonna, when the police came, they were gonna ask 5 questions. And I had 2 opportunities in which to say I didn't want to be arrested. And I knew that I had those, those outs, and I intended to take those outs. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to stay at the gate to make my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave peacefully. But when it came down to it, it was just too big. I knew in a few moments that I had to, this huge, huge what was here. And it was much more what was here than what was here, but this was really busy.
Mm-hmm. Mine was busy.
And this was so big and all-encompassing what was going on here, that I knew that if I didn't act now, I was going to act later, and then I'd go to jail for longer or have a bigger fine, because at some point I had to listen to this, because it wouldn't be quiet. Sometimes we get told the answer before we even realize we're asking.
Maybe true. It's good to, my view, you know, I'm not saying right. My view is it's just good to remember there is a question and we should ask it. Not just in the fires, just when we wake up. I'm waking up. What is the most important thing? Pouring my cereal, you know. We're not talking about cereal. It's a good time to ask that question. If we're... this is a sort of... kind of strange statement, but if we're lucky... if we... know how to take it. Sometimes life brings that question right to you. And then you can't avoid the question. So if you have some way of living with the question as part of your practice, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It helps you when life just makes that question undeniable. Thank you.